Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and we are at the very last verse. Or actually, the last two verses. We've been talking about what is the church. And there's a lot of shock. When you really study the Bible, which most preachers don't, the Bible sheds a lot of light on bad understanding among church people. We learned last week that the church is not and never has been a building. There is no such thing as a sanctuary. There's nothing hallowed or holy about this building. As a matter of fact, this is Jesus' teaching. Hold your finger here and go to John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking to the woman who was a Samaritan. And they're talking about where someone should worship because the Samaritans were not allowed at a Jewish temple. As a matter of fact, no one was allowed at the Jewish temple unless you could show your card that you were fully Jewish. The Jewish temple did not allow Gentiles. As a matter of fact, if you were a Gentile and tried to walk toward the temple guard would spear you dead. That's why a couple times when Roman generals walked in, it created riots because the Gentiles weren't allowed to go into the temple building. As a matter of fact, ladies, I apologize. You could only get in so far. The court of the women. Otherwise, if you went too far, my guess would be the ladies would get stoned. And I don't mean with illicit narcotics or alcohol. They would actually take up stones and kill you. And so they're discussing this Samaritan woman. Well, I know that you people that say that Jerusalem physically is the place in that temple. Well, unless you were a card-carrying Jewish person, you didn't get in. And you didn't get in too far if you weren't a male. That's the way the rules were set up. But look what Jesus says to this woman in chapter 4, verse 20. We'll start with verse 20 in chapter 4 of John. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you people, you Jews, say you need to worship in Jerusalem. The only problem with that is they wouldn't let a Samaritan worship in the temple. So how do you do it? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming, and by the way, it's here, when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father, but you shall worship, you worship that which you do not know. We worship that which is we know, for salvation is from the Jews, but an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers, shall worship in spirit and in truth, for such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Game over. There's no more temple. The church isn't a building. I got another thing that I'm going to... When Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, I'm going to tell you a little bit of a preacher lie. He's not telling you to go to a building or to go to a officially established church. He's saying, don't forsake hanging around with Christians. and you could hang around with Christians in a variety of ways. Now, how do you like that coming from a preacher? When he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, what he's saying is, don't hang around with the world. Make sure that you hang around with Christians who will nurture you. So, what does this mean? Well, I got another shock for you about what it means. This is going to really shock you. If you've gone to a building and attended a ceremony, you haven't necessarily gone to church at all. As a matter of fact, there's no such thing in the early New Testament of official church membership. Remember how we will say, you should join our church? Unheard of. How do you like that? That brings up another shocking thing. And this has been perpetrated by clergy. Merely because people go and assemble does not mean that everybody in the assembly is a part of the church. Why? Because the church, the true church of God, the true worshipers of God, are you ready for this? Only consist of those who have been born again. That means there's plenty of people going to buildings and sitting in there while the clergy does whatever they do, and they aren't even a part of a church or God's church. Paul says this. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. There is no such thing as people who are part of the true church that haven't been born again. So this idea that church is for everybody is not true. Church is there, the assembly is there for those who worship and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and who have been, are you ready? Born again. Otherwise, this means that you can join a church. You can fill out a form. Preachers love that because they get points with the elder board. The more baptisms, the more people who join the church, the more the elders like that. So what happens is you get a lot of people joining church who are really part of the church. Because they haven't been born again. The only way you become... Something's going on back there. The only way you become a member of the true church is this. You must be born again. Period. You can be a member of a church, but if you have not said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Father, I accept Jesus Christ. Make me born again. The church isn't. You aren't a part of the church, and that's not what the purpose of the church is. That's not its function. The church is only those who are truly born again. Now, how do we know who is truly born again? Well, there's a lot of preachers that like to be the judge of that, and there's a lot of these fundamentalist Christians. By the way, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. Don't get scared. But we don't know. There's a lot of preachers that claim to be born again. And I wonder. If you're not born again, going to church or being a member of a church and sitting in the same seat Sunday after Sunday is absolutely no indication that you're a part of God's true church. Unless you've been born again. So there's plenty, You know what kills me about Christianity? There's this big group of people, billions that claim to know Jesus. Billions that claim to know Jesus, and they don't act a thing like Jesus. In other words, in this mass of what is called Christianity, I would wonder, truly, by way they act, if even 1% of them truly has been born again. How much Christian testimony has been ruined? I'm going to pick on preachers. How much testimony has been ruined by preachers who can sure preach it at people, but they sure don't live it? I know things. I'll tell you something. I know some things that if I hadn't been a Christian since I was 7 years old, I would. It's really discouraging, and I'm talking about preachers. I know preachers that will sit there and just pound the pulpit over certain types of sin of which they themselves are guilty. Watch when a preacher pounds the pulpit on a particular sin, Sunday after Sunday, and I'll tell you something, I now watch and say, he keeps bringing that up. I wonder what's going on in that person's life. I'm telling you straight. Church membership, filling out a form, you're not a part of the church. You can come to... So the only time that the church meets is when people who are truly born again, who come together to mutually lift one another up and strengthen each other in the faith. Otherwise, you've got a social club. Most churches, if I can be honest with you, my guess would be, trying not to be too judgmental, most of them are social clubs. They have nice get-togethers. They can, you know, I know big churches where people go to find a mate. But they're really, many of them, social clubs. You can tell what Jesus said when Jesus said on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? And Jesus says to these people, depart from me, I never knew you. So there is a group of people professing to know Jesus, think they're a part of the church. The church is not a building. There's nothing hallowed. The only time we're going to show you, and we don't have as much time today, we'll have to do it next week too because of what we talked about. Where was I going to go with that one? It should not have derailed myself when that happens. Where was I? The only time this sank... Thank you. Mark got me back. At least I know you're listening because I sometimes tune out. The only time this place becomes hallowed... Are you ready? Or sanctified. A sanctuary is when... Listen to me now. God's true born-again people assemble. That's another thing. Jesus said about his people not to look on the outside. It's what's in the heart. So that means this. When you come and the assembly that has been born again and is sanctified, don't worry about the outside. Now that's what the fundamentalists in Jesus' day did. They always worried about, they had the flowing robes and they looked real good and we would, you know, but that's not what, it's the heart. And when you come and assemble, God doesn't care if you've got a spiffy dress on. I always love it at Easter when I was a kid. Easter Sunday, everybody bought a new dress and hat when I was a kid. And I thought that's what church was. a new, you know, Easter, you know, and all that. And then I started reading what Jesus taught. He taught the fundamentals, says that you look great on the outside, but you stink on the inside. And so when the church assembles its people, and it doesn't have to be in a formal building that says church, because the word church came from where? German. And they think it's a building. That's why, as I told you, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, I am there. You got church. You may not have a big church, but you've got, if you're born again and you meet with Christians at a coffee shop. Oh, how radical. Well, that's, you get together with Christians. They're born again. That's assembling of yourselves together. But over time, how did Pastor Dave, how then have we come to see such a rigid formality to worship? Well, here's what happened. The early church met in homes. They didn't meet in sanctuaries. They very rarely met in a building because the early church was taught the church is born again people. So they'd meet in somebody's home. But over time, here's what religious people do. They get into ritual. And then the church grows and somebody purchases a building and then they make a big building and then the clergy get involved and they wear fancy robes and fancy hats and the jewelry. And then they tell people the lie that if you become a member of their church, you get saved. No, you don't get saved by becoming a member of the church. The moment you become saved, you're a part of God's church, but church membership in a physical building never saved anyone. And so then they called themselves priests and clergy for 1,500 years. And they went around doing this, I will hear your confession kind of thing, and it's a scam. No wonder Jesus said, when he comes back, many would say to me on that day, I never knew you, because this has been in most of Christianity an absolute scam. And I'll tell you something, when Jesus said the first shall be last and the last shall be first, I'm telling you, when Jesus returns, you're going to get some surprises about how many clergy aren't at the front of the line for reward, they will be at the front of the line for judgment. I tell the kids at the seminary, and it scares me, James 3:1, don't many of you become teachers because you will receive the greater judgment. I tell them, run from ministry if you can, because you're the one that's going to get judged more harshly than anybody. And what they've perpetrated is to keep up the building and to keep up the program so that the preacher can have a big salary. They've scammed everybody. The church is not a physical building, it is a spiritual entity of all who have been born again and who follow Jesus. And there's only one program that God has in mind, and that is the program of bringing His church to glory. Look what it says here in this verse in Ephesians. And he put Ephesians 1:22, and God the Father put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Do you think Jesus is the head of this building? No. Now look what it says about the church, that the church, Jesus is the head, Jesus is the head of which his church is his what? Body. There is a dynamic connection between Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. Who do you think in Revelation, and we'll have to talk about this next week, who do you think in Revelation Jesus Christ has a marriage supper of the Lamb with? A building? His genuine born-again people, His body. There is no other body of Jesus but His bride. And we'll talk about this next week, who He will sit down with in His kingdom. What are we saying? Church, there ain't no temples anymore. Church is not a building and never has been. You can join a church, but if you're not born again, you're really not a part of God's true church. And the only program that God has going on is the program with the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. That's it. And any preacher that would tell you, you have to every Sunday come to a physical building, I don't think he's even read the New Testament. Oh, I'm going to have more shocking things next week. I got cut short this morning a little bit. But next week, for one last Sunday, we'll explain some more things about the church that I hope you won't find surprising.